Little Steven's Underground Garage is next after a world news update on VOA Music Mix.
Israeli offensive on Gaza continues, and Secretary Kerry holds second day of talks on Afghan election. I'm Bill Michaels, reporting from Washington. Israel's Gaza deadly airstrike offensive entered its fifth day today, with several people killed overnight. Well over 100 Palestinians have been killed since Israel launched its offensive on the Gaza Strip Tuesday. Although Hamas and other militants have fired more than 600 rockets at Israel, so far no Israelis have been killed, in large part due to Israel's rocket defense system, the partly U.S.-funded Iron Dome. White House spokesman Josh Earnest condemned rocket attacks on Israel Friday from Lebanon. He reaffirmed Israel's right to defend itself while again appealing to all sides to protect civilian lives and restore calm.
The president also expressed his concern about the risk associated with further escalation and emphasized the need for all sides in this dispute to do everything they can to protect the lives of civilians and restore calm.
Friday's attack from southern Lebanon struck northern Israel near the border and caused no casualties. It's unclear who fired the rockets. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry has held a second day of talks in Kabul with Afghanistan's two presidential candidates to defuse post-election tensions amid allegations of ballot fraud. The senior diplomat met Friday with frontrunner Ashraf Ghani and a challenger Abdullah Abdullah. Today, he met first with Abdullah for over an hour, then talked with Ghani. Both claimed victory in the June 14th runoff to replace outgoing President Hamid Karzai. Kerry plans to meet with Mr. Karzai today, as he did on Friday, in attempts to end the political crisis just months before international troops are scheduled to leave the country.
The results that were announced on Monday are preliminary. They are neither authoritative nor final. And no one should be stating a victory at this point in time.
Kerry's visit appears to have succeeded in getting the candidates to pull back from declarations of victory and threats to set up a parallel government. Ukraine's defense ministry says a rocket fired by pro-Russian separatists in eastern Ukraine Friday killed at least 19 troops and wounded 93. The rebels targeted a village in the Luhansk region near the Russian border. Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko said those responsible will be found and destroyed. He said for every Ukrainian soldier killed, the rebels would pay with hundreds of their own. Fighting has surged in the east since the Ukrainian government ceasefire expired at the end of June. Since then, Ukrainian forces have driven the rebels out of several cities, including Slavansk, which was their main stronghold. A car bomb in the Kurdish-controlled city of Kirkuk in northern Iraq has killed at least 25 people and wounded 25 others. The dead include civilians and Kurdish soldiers manning a checkpoint. The blast shattered windows in nearby homes. No one has claimed responsibility. Earlier Friday, Kurdish forces seized two northern Iraqi oil fields near Kirkuk, saying they want to secure the facilities. The central government in Baghdad has condemned the seizure and demanded the Kurds immediately withdraw. Kurdish forces took control of Kirkuk and other northern areas nearly a month ago. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is shutting down two labs that handle highly infectious pathogens and imposing an immediate moratorium on shipments of all biological materials from high-level security laboratories until safety problems are addressed. CDC Director Tom Friedman.
So to me, the fact that something like this could happen in such a superb laboratory is unsettling, because it tells me that we need to look at our culture of safety throughout all of our laboratories.
You can read more on this story at voanews.com. Russia's president has begun a six-day tour of Latin American countries. Vladimir Putin's first stop Friday was Cuba, where he met with Cuban President Raul Castro. Mr. Putin is scheduled to be in Rio de Janeiro Sunday for the World Cup final, where Brazilian President Dilma Rousseff will officially hand over World Cup responsibilities to the Russian leader, whose country hosts the next global tournament in 2018. And U.S. pro basketball superstar LeBron James says he's returning to play for the Cleveland Cavaliers after spending four seasons with the Miami Heat. Reporting from Washington, I'm Bill Michaels, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
In Bosnian, we say najbolji svjetski izbor muzike na glasu Amerike.
Everybody says the world's best variety, VOA Music Mix.
Come to the land of living dreams, where realists dream of the unreal. Beatniks at their bawdiest. The creative urge at its most primitive.
For those of you with heart conditions, or who are with young and impressionable children, we ask that you turn around in your seats.
Alive! It's alive! It's...
Little Steven's Underground Garage.
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 Now they will know why they are afraid of the dark. Now they will learn why they fear the night.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission.
I want counterculture. I want anti-establishment.
This is mass madness, you maniacs! You maniacs!
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Al Brodax, ex-Army, Purple Heart, Bronze Star, Battle of the Bulge, ends up head of King Features Syndicate, film and TV department. One day he runs into this nerdy guy, looking kind of lost in the hallway, and he asks him, where's he going? He's kind of dejected, you know. He says, an editor just threw me out of his office, and I'm looking for the elevator. Oh yeah, says Al, what's that in your hand? It's drawings of a group called the Beatles, which I have the rights to, but nobody around here has ever heard of them. Well, Al had heard of them. He says, come on to my office for a minute. Makes a deal with the guy on the spot, then gets to Brian Epstein, the Beatles manager, and parlays the rights this other guy already had into an animation deal, and does the Beatles cartoon show. The series lasts 3 years and gets a 50 share. 50% of everybody watching TV Saturday mornings watch the Beatles cartoons. Then Al finds out that United Artists have made a three-picture deal with the band, but in spite of the ridiculous success of Hard Day's Night and Help, they don't want to do a third movie. All they want to do is go to India and meditate. So Brodax tells Brian Epstein, listen, I got the perfect solution, an animated film, no aggravation, instant contract fulfillment. The Beatles agree, but they want nothing to do with it since they hated the cartoon show because Brodax had used American actors to voice it, figuring no American kid would really understand that British lingo. So their only contribution before leaving for India was Ringo's. Al wanted to call the thing All You Need Is Love, but Ringo suggested Yellow Submarine. You could do whatever you want with that, he said. Go wherever you want, be whatever you want. Okay. Al has Joseph Heller write a treatment, but went with Eric Siegel. Got John Coates to produce, George Dunning to direct, Heinz Edelman to draw it, and off they went to Pepperland. Of course, when the Beatles saw it, they loved it, and came in for that live cameo at the end. They regretted not doing the voices, and actually felt guilty about giving Brodax what they considered their throwaway material. Well, we respectfully disagree.
Something that child, always feeling low down. Tuesday had a dream child, she's always on the go, so I'm in love with that little child. If you love a Wednesday, you live your life apart now. And if you love a Thursday, she's gonna break your heart. So I'm in love with Saturday child. Every time I hold her close, you can feel the girl that's gonna be. Now the future has a guarantee.
Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees, and you're with Little Steven in the Underground Garage. It feels just like my senior prom, only this time I might get lucky.
I know. This is a submarine.
Soft, isn't it?
Not if you're on the bottom.
All right, lads. Time to stow the gab and turn to.
Groovy. How do you start this thing?
It starts with a blue meanie attack.
Supposing there's no blue meanies in the neighborhood?
Then you start looking for a switch.
We're quite cute, really.
You could pass for the originals.
Well, we are the originals.
No, Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Well, it couldn't be much with a name like that. Sergeant Pepper.
You could impersonate them and rally the land to rebellion.
You know
started our Yellow Submarine show with All You Need Is Love, which had come out almost a year exactly earlier. Just, what, 5-6 weeks after Sgt. Pepper. What a role they were on. It was almost the title of the film. Hey Bulldog, a throwaway according to John Lennon. A fantastic record according to me. Supposedly originally called Hey Bullfrog. But thanks to Paul McCartney's barking, they changed it in the middle of the song to Hey Bulldog. Sadie's Child was the Monkees. Fantastic record written by David Gates, later a member of Bread. But we forgive him for that. Produced by the great Tommy Boyce, Bobby Hart, and Jack Keller.
Devil You Know was the ghost of a saber-toothed tiger. Project created by Sean Lennon and Charlotte Mule. Their latest album, Midnight Sun. A very interesting record. Definitely worth checking out.
Tony Sheridan, the underrated Tony Sheridan, Shake It Some More from Ain't She Sweet. He occasionally used the Beatles as his backup group, but this was not one of those. Cool record though, huh? 1964.
Can You Please Crawl Out Your Window was Wilco Johnson and Roger Daltrey. The album is Going Back Home. Wilco from Dr. Feelgood, Roger, of course, from The Who are my favorite Bob Dylan song of all time. The only song Bob did with the Hawks. All the Hawks. It's on Universal, so I guess you can get it the normal way. People get records, if people still get records.
And we'll be back with somebody who went out for a ride and made a wrong turn. And no, it ain't Gilligan.
All together now.
We all live in the underground garage. The underground garage. The underground garage.
TV.
We all live in the underground garage. The underground garage. An underground garage. We all live in an underground garage.
The TV.
An underground garage.
The TV.
An underground garage.
The TV.
We.
This ain't your grandfather's VOA.
VOA Music Mix.
July 17th, 1938, 5:15 in the morning. Douglas, Wrong Way Corrigan, takes off to the east from Floyd Bennett Field in Brooklyn with 320 gallons of gas and 16 gallons of oil in his 1929 Curtis Robin OX-5 monoplane, which he'd purchased for $310. He'd souped it up to deliver all of 165 horsepower instead of the original 90 by replacing the engines, which brought his total spend to $900. He had become an airline designer and mechanic, but he got his kicks stunt flying and barnstorming and was there to pull the chocks from the wheels when his hero Charles Lindbergh left San Diego to fly to New York and then make history with his transatlantic flight. Corrigan was determined to follow in his hero's footsteps, but couldn't get official permission to make the transatlantic flight. So he planned a secret maneuver to fly to New York early in the morning, fuel up, and then split without permission before the airline officials, you know, woke up. Mechanical problems got him there late, including a major fuel leak, but the safe weather window to Europe was closing, so he took off, gas leak and all. 10 hours in, the cockpit was filling up with gas, so he punched a hole in the floor with a screwdriver, hoping the gas would leak out away from the hot exhaust pipe, which luckily it did. And 28 hours later, he landed at Baldonnel Airfield in Dublin. His provisions had been 2 chocolate bars, 2 boxes of fig bars, and 1 quart of water. His fuel tanks didn't allow him to look out the front of the plane, so he had to look around the sides. He had no radio, and his compass was 20 years old. Journalist H.R. Knickerbocker reported, "It was hard to believe anyone would take the thing up into the air, never mind fly the Atlantic. The entire plane was patched and soldered together like a quilt, and the doors were held shut by baling wire." He told the airline officials that he realized he was going the wrong way, 26 hours into the flight, but they didn't buy it. It took them 600 words to list all of his violations, but in the end, they acknowledged his small miracle by only suspending his license for 2 weeks. His hero, Lucky Lindy, never acknowledged his achievement, much to Corrigan's disappointment. But to even things out, his ticker tape parade down Broadway was bigger than Lindbergh's.
He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. Doesn't have a point of view, knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like you?
When Rocky and Bullwinkle tried to find out about the weather, they were picked up by a sinister figure and taken to a federal office so secret its name wasn't even on the door. But once inside, it was old home week, for the head of the agency was none other than Captain Peter Wrongway Peachfuzz.
Never mind, operator, I found them. Operator, operator?
You have the phone backwards, Captain.
Well, that's no reason for her to be rude.
Bye. Put your window down!
He wants something.
He's probably drunk.
You're going the wrong way!
What?
You're going the wrong way!
He says we're going the wrong way.
Oh, he's drunk. How would he know where we're going?
Me.
Hello, this is Chris Hillman from The Birds. You're with Little Steven in the Underground Garage, a very cool place to be.
Every time I see you smile, come to me, don't be long. Let me tell you how my heart goes wild. Please let me love you and it won't be wrong. Every time I'm in your arms, come to me, don't be long. You know that I'll never do you harm. Please let me love you and it won't be wrong. Let me love you and you'll see. Come to me, come to me. Let me show you what you will be free. Please let me love you and it won't be wrong. Every time I see you smile, come to me, don't be long. Let me tell you how my heart goes wild. Please let me love you and it won't be wrong. Let me love you and you'll see. Come to me, come to me. Let me show you what you will be free. Please let me love you and it won't be wrong. Please let me love you and it won't be wrong. Please let me love you and it won't be wrong.
We started our tribute to Wrong Way Corrigan with Nowhere Man, the number one hit for the Beatles in 66, and later used, of course, in Yellow Submarine. Wrong Way Corrigan might have been wrong, but he wasn't wrong long. Naz. The second album, Naz Naz. Yeah, written by Todd Rundgren. Little Boy, a classic from the Crystals, which I don't believe was a hit. I don't know why.
The Connection with First Time, B-side of their latest single, Don't Talk to My Baby. We always like to flip that record over. Usually find some cool things. And we did it again. Honest John Plain, the writer for the original version done by the Boys, 77. Brad Marino and Jeff Palmer producing. Get it from theconnectionofficial.com.
It won't be wrong. The Birds from their fantastic second album, Turn, 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 produced by Terry Melcher. To celebrate Wrong Way Corrigan's autobiography, That's My Story, published Christmas 1938, they created Wrong Way merchandise, like watches that ran backwards. He would then star as himself in The Flying Irishman, for which he received $75,000, or 30 years' income from his old airfield job. And he's not even our freak of the week. Believe it or not, we got our freak of the week when we come back.
Where radio continues to evolve.
And you're part of it.
VOA Music Mix.
Our freak of the week is Clifford Odets, born July 18, 1906 in Philadelphia, a Jewish immigrant, and grew up in the Bronx. He dropped out of high school to become an actor and helped start the group theater with Harold Klerman and Lee Strasberg and the gang. He stopped acting and wanted to start writing, and at the urging of Klerman, wrote Awake and Sing in 1935, still considered one of his masterpieces. Strasberg was nervous about it, so the first play produced for the group theater was Waiting for Lefty, a play about the taxi business ending in a dramatic organizing of the workers
and a call to strike. Controversial stuff back then. This was a huge success, and all the plays of the group theater would be harsh criticisms of profiteers and exploitive economic system during the Great Depression. Odette's style is distinguished by kind of a street, poetic, metaphor-laden dialogue, his socialist politics, and his ability to drop an audience right into the conflict with little or no introduction, with character often more important than plot, something he picked up from Anton Chekhov. As brilliant an artist as he was, and there was nobody better, Golden Boy, Clash by Night, The Big Knife, The Country Girl, and the screenplay for Sweet Smell of Success, he was as stupid as he was brilliant when it came to politics. Both praising the Soviet Union and naming names for Joseph McCarthy. But it's the genius of his work that we will remember and that will inspire generations to come forevermore. Our Freak of the Week, Clifford Odets.
Why is it that everything you say sounds like a threat?
Maybe it's a mannerism, because I don't threaten friends. But why furnish your enemies with ammunition? You're a family man, Harvey, and someday, God willing, you may want to be president. And here you are, out in the open, where any hep person knows that this one is toting that one around for you. Are we kids or what? Next time you come up, you might join me on my TV show.
Thanks, JJ. What I consider sound advice.
Go thou and sin no more.